Broadcasting from a secret location.
How dare you?
Deep inside John Kerry's private jet.
It's the only choice for somebody like me.
This is the voice of the climate agenda resistance.
Right now, I got a few words for some of our brothers and sisters in the occupied zone.
This is Radio Free Energy.
And for all of you out there on or behind the line, this is your song.
With your host, Larry Behrens.
Welcome to episode 2 of Radio Free Energy. I'm so glad you've decided to join us for another episode. I'm so proud of you. And this one, we're simply going to call it Mr. Biden Goes to Washington, or How a Radical Showed Up in Moderate's Clothing. So you have to remember all the way back, I know it's hard, to 2020, and recall during the election, Joe Biden was supposed to be the rational one. So how did we get from the person who was supposed to be the rational one, this boring, unimpressive Washington empty suit, to turn into the most radical environmental zealot to ever occupy the Oval Office? That's the question we're going to answer for you in this episode. Now, this Delaware politician who lived most of his political career on cruise control, he would become the president that delivered the highest gas prices in history and undermine America's domestic energy foundation in a way that would make our global adversaries jealous. He would cancel critical energy infrastructure, put a full stop on domestic energy production, and leased the fewest acres of oil-producing land since Harry Truman was in office. No disrespect to Harry Truman. But don't be fooled into believing that Joe Biden is a new initiate in the Green Agenda cult. As a newly elected 29-year-old senator in 1972, Joe Biden rode into office in the years surrounding the first Earth Day and the creation of the Environmental Protection Agency. So by 2020, Joe Biden was billed as a middle-of-the-road politician. But as it turns out, that road was squarely in the middle of environmental delusion.
Pundits and experts, cable TV talkers talked about the race. Tell them it ain't over, man. We're just getting started. Our votes count too.
In the heat of that 2020 Democratic primary election season, the early results did not spell success for the former vice president from Delaware. Riding the wave of ultra-liberal momentum from 2016, Senator Bernie Sanders and young usurper Mayor Pete Buttigieg, yeah, remember, they captured the early states of Iowa, New Hampshire, and Nevada, and they did so handedly. By all accounts, the 2020 primary process was getting ready to reject Joe Biden's run for president, and that was the third time he had tried to run for president in 32 years.
There will be other opportunities. There'll be other battles in other places, other times, and I'll be there.
A failed 1988 campaign ended in disgrace when Biden dropped out of the race over plagiarism charges. You see, because back in the late 80s, that was a time when being a disingenuous candidate still mattered. Now times have changed. Fast forward in time, and being genuine would not be Joe Biden's problem in 2008. The problem would be that he was Joe Biden. Working to place himself as an alternative to the deeply establishment-entrenched Hillary Clinton and the untested but intriguing Barack Obama, Biden would turn up dropping out of the race after a distant fifth-place finish in Iowa. Now, go back to that finish. He finished behind Obama. He finished behind Clinton. And he finished behind, few people remember now, New Mexico Governor Bill Richardson. Side note, yes, that is the same Bill Richardson who visited and took money from Jeffrey Epstein. That is the guy that finished ahead of Joe Biden in Iowa. Such was the nature of Joe Biden's national popularity in his own party in 2008.
Now, with Joe Biden at my side, I am confident we can take this country in a new direction.
But as it turns out, that's what made him the perfect pick as Barack Obama's running mate. Biden was familiar, but not perceived as threatening. He was bumbly and gaffy, but of course our friendly media would rebrand that as folksy. If the knock on Obama was that he didn't have experience, then who better to pick than a senator who had coasted through Washington since Barack Obama was 11 years old? Anyone who watched Joe Biden in 2008 and for many years before could see the radical environmentalist waiting to emerge, yet the dutiful media continued to gloss over the extreme aspects of Biden's past. Now, during his decades in the Senate, Biden amassed a score of 83 from the highly influential League of Conservation Voters, a radical environmental group. This is the same group that dumps millions into campaigns of eco-politicians and then, of course, pulls their strings during key votes in Congress.
It's not easy bowing to the green mob, but how else am I going to keep being their puppet?
Now, it's no secret that groups like League of Conservation Voters put out rankings of their favorite and least favorite politicians because, of course, they've designated themselves arbiters of what is good for the earth. Now, if you want access to their influence and millions of cash, you'd better be scoring high on their report card because the curriculum is very unforgiving. Now, remember, Joe Biden received an 83 from this group. For perspective, if we look at former Wisconsin Senator Gaylord Nelson, the very politician who created Earth Day, we found he was only given a score of 85. When you're the author of Earth Day, and that's only good enough for a B, you begin to see the extreme rigors demanded by the environmental movement of their politicians. We also begin to see how Joe Biden wanted very badly to make the grade.
I am the smart. I am the smart. S-M-R-T. S-M-A-R-T.
Through his Senate career, we find a man willing to do anything to appease the green movement. Sadly, a politician bending backwards to impress their favorite special interest is a common occurrence in Washington. It's just as common as the humidity in the air. But what set Biden apart is his willingness to do the bidding of his green masters, no matter the cost to the middle and working class Americans he was supposed to represent.
Looks like someone just got off the stupid train.
Now, 6 months after bowing out of that 2008 presidential race, Senator Joe Biden was running late. He was in a hurry to get to the Capitol Hill for a vote in favor of a climate bill that would undoubtedly help his score with those environmental donors. The summer of 2008, we saw a continuation of the vicious primary battle between Clinton and Obama, but Biden was out of the fray and free to be as extreme as he pleased. Now, this vote on June 2nd of that year was for the Climate Security Act, and that was a measure that, by one analysis, would lead to the loss of up to 4 million American jobs, and of course, raise energy rates for the rest of us.
Bueller. Bueller.
Now, during that vote on the bill, Senators Obama and Clinton would conveniently be absent for that vote. That allowed them to bask in the political gray area of not voting for the bill, but not voting against it either, so as to keep the temperature cool among their special interest money, but also making sure that the everyday public didn't get too upset either. Senator Biden, no longer forced to keep up with appearances because he had dropped out of the race, was eager to vote for the bill, no matter the cost to families. But there was one problem. His public transportation train was late, and he missed the vote. Once he finally showed up at the Capitol, Joe Biden stated his strong support for mandating automakers use more E85 fuel and for his unwavering support for renewable energy over traditional energy sources. As it turns out, Joe Biden, the environmental radical, was hiding in plain sight, and he wasn't done lurching hard to the left. In an interview, while still a candidate for president, Biden didn't hide the measures he would endorse if given the opportunity.
I would cap emissions at 80% below 1990 levels by 2050 and set a national RPS of 20%. I would announce an executive order that the federal government would not purchase one single automobile for its fleet that gets less than 40 miles to the gallon. And I would not build a single solitary federal project without it being a green project. I think we should be able to get to 40 miles per gallon by 2017. I think we should have every single vehicle in America have to get 1 mile per year additional fuel economy. By the way, I really said that quote, but this voice was AI generated.
Now, that was a lot of talk about what Joe Biden would do with vehicles, but don't forget, Joe Biden is a well-known collector of cars, and he was asked then what he's done to personally help the environment during that campaign, and, no joke, he stated that he and his family had changed to better light bulbs. Now, the moment when Barack Obama selected Biden as his running mate in August, it offered him, Biden, the chance to do what he first set out to accomplish 20 years earlier, be a candidate for a nationwide office. Sure, Biden would be the second fiddle, but was an opportunity for a long-awaited promotion and a chance to put his eco record on a much larger platform. The election in the fall made Joe Biden vice president and delivered a platform for Biden to begin the top-heavy environmental mandates that would be the hallmark of his presidency just 12 years later.
This is AI Joe Biden, and I love Radio Free Energy more than I love falling on the stairs.
By the time Barack Obama and Joe Biden were done in office, America would lose a coal plant on average once a week, and 28 coal workers would lose their jobs, for every day Joe Biden was vice president. Now, those losses were acceptable to Obama and Biden because as one of his first acts in the new office, Biden would be placed in charge of a $90 billion taxpayer-funded slush fund to usher in the green energy revolution here in America. And the jobs, of course, would surely follow. One of Biden's top picks for his new future utopia was a little-known solar company by the name of Solyndra.
This announcement today is part of the unprecedented investment this administration is making in renewable energy, and exactly what the Recovery Act is all about.
That was what Joe Biden said on the day they announced that Solyndra would get a whopping $535 million to create what they said was a potential 4,000 jobs. Now, of course, the fact that one of Solyndra's investors was also a major campaign donor and Obama was the top recipient of donations from Solyndra employees, well, none of that would come to light until after the company's failure. However, it's clear Joe Biden learned a very clear lesson. Taxpayer dollars sent to friendly green companies will eventually show up in your campaign coffers.
If I vote how they tell me, then they'll send me those sweet green dollars, baby. Cha-ching.
The catastrophic failure that was Solyndra, well, that's well documented, but it merits a mention here for a couple of reasons. First, Joe Biden was put solely in charge of this money by President Obama, and so he is solely responsible for this failure. But second, it's the blueprint for what Biden is now attempting to do with his so-called Inflation Reduction Act, throwing massive amounts of government money, your dollars and mine, at green technologies in the false hope it will become a leading industry in America. The Solyndra fiasco was from a $90 billion fund controlled by Biden. Today, his administration is in charge of four times that amount for the same failed purpose.
Science tells us we have 9 years before the damage of climate change is irreversible.
Now, full disclosure, that voice was AI generated, but that is exactly what Joe Biden said in July of 2020. 6 months later, after that Armageddon prediction, he would take the oath as the 46th president of the United States. And sadly for our economy and our pocketbooks, he wouldn't waste a moment.
Quick, it's the green police. Run for cover, man.
Thank you so much for listening. I hear the green energy police bearing down on me, but you know, maybe they're in solar-powered cars and they won't be able to catch up. So until next time, hey, if you like the episode, please just give it a like and a nice rating. And if you're a dirty granola-eating hippie, well, go ahead and give it 1 star because we're going to keep doing this no matter what. And if you have a question or something you want to add to the podcast, feel free to send me an email, radiofreeenergy@protonmail.com. Until then, avoid the green police, and we'll see you next time.
This has been Radio Free Energy, the voice of the climate agenda resistance, with your host, Larry Behrens. Until next time, keep up the fight against the Green New Steel.